Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Dina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePauw here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White, Byron Man from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it hot. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. We are home of the indie artists and your number one source for porn star gossip, music, entertainment news, and no filter fun. Check out our shows weekly. We've got Real Talk airing every Monday at 8 p.m., Hot Sugar Tea airing every Friday at 11 p.m., and our newest show, All Talk No Filter, airing Sundays at 6 p.m. All shows air Eastern Standard Time. We've got a hot new indie artist show coming soon called The Takeover, an entire hour dedicated to spinning nothing but the hottest in indie music. If you want your song to make the playlist, email us your MP3 and your social media handles to thetakeoverdhr@gmail.com. Make sure you visit us on the net at www.hotsugartea.com and follow us on Twitter at @Dollhouse_radio and on Instagram at @Dollhouse_radio and at Hot Sugar Tea. And now, back to your program.
Thank you all to listening tonight on this edition of Real Talk Director here on Dollhouse Radio. I know today is Memorial Day, and last week, or before I say that, I know to everyone, let me wish you everyone that everyone is having a very happy Memorial Day. I hope everyone is having a very safe day, that you are getting all the barbecue that you want to, that the weather is good in your area of the country. I know that last week I said that we would not be doing a live show tonight, which is technically true. We are not doing an entire show tonight. We are just doing a very quick, brief show. We are not going to be on the air very long tonight at all because, you know, it's more day. A few things have going on, and the box office still happened, and a few interesting notes of nature that we're just going to touch on really, really fast, very quickly. Once again, on behalf of all of us, I say definitely happy Memorial Day. Hope everyone is having a wonderful time. I wish someone would bless me with a plate of barbecue chicken and ribs. If you got it out there, let me know. It's not too late for me to get my eat on, because believe me, I can eat. I have one of our members of the Jedi Council online right now. Let me bring Larry on. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, Ralph. How you doing?
Very well. Happy Memorial Day.
You too, man.
I'm all right. Did you get your barbecue on today, or
actually,
your son
no,
on or
no,
something on today?
No, I did. I went to my friend's house last night. Night before last, and we had a little thing at his house, and Yesterday I just rested, and today I decided to work on my house a little bit today. So I'm feeling the effects of that. So.
Well, I need some barbecue chicken. It's not too late, America. You know, can a brother get a drumstick? That's all I want to know.
Seriously, right.
Can a brother get a drumstick?
Yeah, I can smell it around here in my neighborhood. Boy, I can smell the barbecue right now.
I know. I even heard in my area a little while ago they were doing fireworks. I was like, oh.
Yeah, they just went off just now, a few minutes ago.
Like, we're really doing it like that today. I was like, yeah.
Weather finally
broke. It's been so bad off and on for the last few weeks. With I don't know what area of the country it's in, but here with the rain, it'll be blazing hot, then it'll be blazing rain. So today all the big guy upstairs says, let me give you all some good weather today. So he gave us all some good weather today. So thank you, Lord. But as I said, we're going to have a very brief show tonight. We are not going to be in the air very long because I did promise that. We will not be live today because it is Memorial Day, but I just wanted to go over the box office a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry, facelift. I want to go to the box office really quick before this holiday weekend because it is a holiday weekend, and official box office results will not be known until tomorrow. Tomorrow's when it become actually finalized. So what I'm about to say, some movies may change, may make a couple of extra dollars by the time this is finalized in the morning. But as of right now, this past week at the box office, and it was a good weekend at the box office, I went to the movies twice this weekend, so I saw some good stuff. But this weekend, coming in at number 10 is the film Long Shot with Seth Rogen. In its fourth week, this movie grosses another $1.6 million, which brings its domestic total after 4 weeks to $28.7 million. At number 9 is The Intruder. In its fourth week, it brings in another $2.3 million, which brings its total $31.6 million. So almost $32 million, not bad. At number 8 is The Hustle, the all-female remake of the 1988 film Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Michael Caine and Steve Martin. In its third week, it grossed another $3.8 million, which brings its total to $29.8 million. At number 7 is A Dog's Journey. In its second week, it grosses another $4.1 million, which brings its total to $14.9 million. At number 6 is Booksmart, the debut film directed by actress Olivia Wilde. In this debut, it grossed $6.9 million. And number 5 is the film Brightburn, which is a take of the superhero movie. It basically asks the question, what happens if a superhero doesn't be super? In its debut, it grosses $7.8 million. I saw it today. I liked it a lot. It's a little bloodier than what I thought it was going to be, but it was a decent movie. At number 4 is Pokemon Detective Pikachu. In this third week, it grosses another $13.3 million. It brings its domestic total to $116.2 million. At number 3 is Avengers Endgame. Avengers Endgame, in 5 weeks, it has grossed $798.5 million at the box office.
Wow.
That's just U.S. Now, I've said this the last 2 weeks. Its total gross worldwide now stands at $2.68 million. I'm sorry, $2.68 billion. It is closing in on the all-time record that is held by
Avatar,
which is at $2.7 billion. So it's almost there. It is almost there. I did say it would take about 2 weeks. I changed that last week. I said by the end of this summer, there will be a brand new all-time film, grossing film, all-time. That's just incredible. $800 million after 5 weeks. That's more than some movies make in their entire, God, I can't even say release, because that's release, DVD sales, cable sales.
Merchandising, forget about
merchandising,
it.
You know, everything, $800 million. And don't get me wrong, it's still not done. It's only five nope. weeks only. It's only 5 weeks, and we're just beginning to start the movie-going season. You would figure, all right, it dropped, all right, last week, Avengers Endgame, it dropped 410 theaters last week. Oh, that's a big drop, 410. It's still in 3,800 screens. Still. I would say that this film in the U.S., and it's only at $17.2 million. I don't think it's going to start grossing under $10 million for, like, another month.
Another month.
I mean, you got some stuff coming up. You got this weekend, you know, you got Godzilla coming out, which I'm really excited for. I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. That's going to make some money.
Right. And then the week after, you have, I will say, Dark Phoenix. I think Dark Phoenix is going to be big. And then the week after, you have Men in Black International. And then the week after that one, you got Toy Story 4 and Child's Play, and Annabelle Comes Home the week after that one. You have some big movies coming out in the next couple weeks, but it's still going to keep making some money. So I said, by the end of the summer, there'll be a brand new international all-time gross. I still stand to believe that I do not feel that it has enough legs left to reach the all-time U.S. domestic gross, which is Star Wars: The Force Awakens, at $929 million. I don't think it has that kind of steam to beat that record. It'll be close. I think oh, yeah. Avengers is going to top out around 800 and about 875 to a low 9. That's what's going to top out at. You know, that's what I think. So I'm right about one. I could be possibly wrong about the other one. We don't know. We still got some time, so we're going to see. Back to our countdown. Coming in at number two in its second week is John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. In its second week, it has grossed $24.6 million. It brings its U.S. total to $101.2 million. This is the first John Wick film to actually top $100 million. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of it. There's only been three. This is the third one. This is the first one to top $100 million. Definite good news. And once again, this movie got a lot of legs left. A lot of legs left. And coming in number one in this debut is the 2019 remake or live-action reboot of the classic Disney movie Aladdin. This movie in its first week, it grosses $90.4 million. This past weekend to open at number one. Now, as I said, these numbers will possibly change tomorrow. They may change drastically. They may change minor depending on what, because these are the movies as it grows from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but for the Memorial Day weekend, the box office is 4 days, so it's also going to include grosses for today, for tomorrow. I mean, sorry, for today. Today's grosses will also be included in tomorrow's results. So it may go up another, you figure on the average, a plus or minus by $10 million is what it could change. So we'll see how, because from what I've heard, they said that Aladdin is actually opening about $103 million, what they're expecting it to open with, including today's gross is $103. So, as I said, it could change a little bit. Larry, did you get a chance to see any of the movies this weekend?
No. I had a chance to see anything, actually, at all. I'm hoping to lock in on Godzilla this week. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I do want to see that one. I did go see Aladdin. I was actually, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I do want to take a little bit of time about that one because there is some Aladdin backlash with this movie. Well, a lot of some people have complained, and a friend of mine went to go see it today, and her stepson was complaining a lot about the movie and that it was not a true shot-for-shot remake of the classic Disney tale of Aladdin by Robin Williams. Yes, they did add a few things and subtract a few things out of this movie. They made the heroine, and I'm only saying this is not a spoiler because it was already said, but they have made the character Jasmine a little more tougher around the edges, you know, girl powerish, if you want to say that's a correct word. They did do that to her. And there's a few other changes in the movies that, you know, may have been with the director, or they may decide that to change for modern times. So the question I want to ask you is, does Disney have the right to take its properties and change it? Or, well, let me finish. Does Disney have the right to take their classic cartoons and change it, or make changes in it? Or should they just make it exactly the way the original did it? Just instead of animated, just make it live action?
You know what? I look at it this way. If it's animated and you deal with live action, I don't really think one should necessarily be true to the animated film. There's no reason for it if you're doing a live action piece. I mean, there are going to be elements in it that, you know, you want to stay true to that really work for a live action piece, because sometimes these things don't always translate the same way. And I think sometimes if people have an issue with it, it's just personal opinion, really. I don't necessarily think, I mean, Universal has been remaking their monster movies for years. So,
right.
You know, I mean, they remade The Thing. They remade The Wolfman. You know, I mean, they're already working on, I understand that they're in works on Creature of the Black Lagoon. So, you know, they did The Cat People. You know, it's.
Hey. I totally agree. I said this when I was talking to him. I said, well, you know, let's be honest. Is that nothing that was already made, if they're going to remake it, they're not going to make it shot for shot. I mean, the only people that know that made a shot for shot remake was basically Psycho. And we all know that was a horrendous bomb. But I was sitting and I said, this is no different than when they made 1989's Batman. 1989's Batman is nowhere near the same version as the 60s television series, nor is it anywhere near the original cartoon or comic book of Batman. I said, you know, when Batman punched somebody, it doesn't say, whiff, bazinga, kapow.
Yeah.
And they changed his costume from, what was it, blue to jet black. Nobody said none. At the end of the day, the only question that you ask is, was it an enjoyable movie? Yes. People to this day still revere that 89 version of Batman as the version of Batman, despite all the other ones that come out, even The Dark Knight to a degree. The 89 version is very revered. You know? So, yes, I think Disney has the right to make cosmetic changes or enhance the story if you want to. I do think now, if they would have remade this movie and the song Friend Like Me is not in the movie, that gives you a reason. That is a no-no. I think something like that was like we were talking about The Lion King. He says, all those names, Lion King come out, they better have the song Hakuna Matata in it. You're right. They better have that song in it.
That it's funny, speaking of The Lion King, have you seen this documentary that's come out on Netflix about the Lion Sleeps Tonight song, the whole controversy about that?
No. I didn't realize it was controversy.
There was a documentary out on Netflix right now about where the material actually came from some African family, and how they never received a single residual or regarding the song over the years, and how they're talking about they were suing Disney or something like that to try and get the revenues that were owed to that family going back decades.
Yeah, I think it's a little late. Yeah. We're talking 30-plus years.
Yeah, I don't know. They're trying. There's a whole documentary on it. Just came across on Netflix. So who knows? Who knows how it'll turn out?
Yeah. Yes, who knows? But anything can happen.
That's true.
But my thing is simply this, is that listen, people. Everything does not have to be 100% as it originally was, because, and as we're talking, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. If Disney would have said that they were doing another Aladdin movie, and they were not doing a live action, they were doing an animated version of Aladdin and bringing it back on the screen, for me, and it's simply me, if Robin Williams was not the voice, I wouldn't have wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to see it. That's how much he's etched in stone as Aladdin. I mean, as the genie. And I think we have another... Oh, no. Let me go. That's how much he is etched in stone as the genie. So, since you don't have Robin Williams doing this, and this is now from animation to live action, cosmic changes, I'm cool with.
Yeah.
I'm cool with. You know?
I
now,
am
if you
too.
Would have said, now, if you would have said that Princess Jasmine in this movie was white, that's a big problem. That would be a big problem. Not because she's white,
yeah.
Because the character in the movie is Indian.
Yeah.
And you change the dimension. It'd be the same way as if you remade Snow White and you had Snow White and that was Halle Berry. That would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not who Snow White is. It's in the name. That's not who
yeah.
Snow White is.
Snow White.
Right. Those kind of changes that you all up in arms about. I saw online that people were complaining because in this movie, you know, Jasmine didn't have her belly button showing. I was like, huh? So the article said because in the cartoon, some of the outfits that Jasmine had on, you can clearly see her belly button. But in this one, her belly button is not shown. So it is not a faithful interpretation of Aladdin. Who cares? In the end of the day, who really cares about that kind of minute problem? Because you know why? Because it's not even a problem. It's not.
It's true.
So, people out there in America, calm down.
Seriously.
Relax. It's not that serious. It's not. And I was even telling, you know, he was saying, you know, that his feelings for the line, for how Lion King had better be good, and I was like, wow. You're bringing out all this human emotion for a picture that, realistically speaking, you're not earning a dollar off of. You're not getting one thin dime off the gross of that movie. And you're
mm-hmm.
all up in arms about it. I can understand if it was like a family heirloom or your dad or your mom actually created the first movie or they created the characters. I can understand that one, but it's none of those things. It's just a movie. It's not that serious. Is not. But I do agree with him. Disney, I'm just telling you, I was joking when I said that. I said, Disney, you better not mess up Lion King. I'm serious. Excuse me.
It looks
if you
good,
do,
though.
It looks very good. But if you mess it up, I'm going to California in August, and I will show up. I will go to Disneyland. One of those big ass slides, like I'm in the restaurant saying, Disney sucks, you messed up Lion King. I will be protesting at Disneyland. So I was telling my friend, I said, listen, you know, in August, you might need some bail money and a plane ticket to come get me. She's like, no, I'm not even going to acknowledge that. I didn't even know you. You can sit out there. You can sit out there for being stupid. But, I mean, I'm just kidding around with that one, but I'm deadly serious, Disney. I have faith in you because you did such a wonderful job with The Jungle Book. I think you did such a wonderful job with Beauty and the Beast. And me, I like Dumbo. I really like Dumbo. And I do like Aladdin. I have faith in you that you are going to do the right thing with The Lion King. However, he is right. Hakuna Matata and Can You Feel Love Tonight had better be in this movie. You can change everything else. You don't have to have him singing I Can't Wait to Be King. You don't have to have that in the song. I don't care about that one. You don't have, whatever the song that Scar sang, you could cut that. But those two songs had better be in this movie. And who knows what you're going to have now that you have that Beyonce is the voice of Nala. But you don't think Beyonce going to say, well, wait a minute. I want a song in here somewhere. I want a Beyonce song.
You know that.
But she better not get it to start singing Single Ladies. You can't have all the lions going around singing single ladies. Can't. You can't do that. You know, so yes, Disney, you even though I have faith in you, you do have certain restrictions, and that's one of them. You can't have Beyonce doing that one. You know, and I think you also have in the movie John Legend. I think he's in the movie also as a voice. If I'm not mistaken, I read that right. It's John Legend, one of the voices. I know Chiwetel Ejiofor, he's a voice. And, oh man, I'm going to get his name wrong. The guy that plays Lando Calrissian, he's the voice of Simba.
Who, Billy Dee Williams?
No, Billy Dee Williams is Lando Calrissian, but he played Lando Calrissian in Solo. The guy that plays Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, he's the voice of Simba in this movie.
Okay.
Right. So, it's really a musical people that are the voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure, if he comes and he says, "This is America," you know, that doesn't fit into the movie. But Hakuna Matata, you know, yeah. Can you feel
he threw it in that movie he directed, that a short film he directed that has Rihanna in it. He used it in that, actually.
Yeah, I heard it was excellent.
It's a very good movie. It's better than some of the stuff the studios put out. That's 45 minutes you've ever come across. It's really a really good movie. Really,
I have heard that repeatedly, that it is damn good.
It is really good. And when he fits in This Is America, it actually fits. It's not something he's kind of just placed in. It's kind of well written into the script, so it actually fits into the story. And I was really, really really impressed with it. I thought he did a great job. I got to give the guy credit. He really comes up with very creative stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's very creative.
Yeah.
Very creative. I know I loved him in, and it's their shame I'm having problems remembering his name. I'm going to pull his name in a second. But he did, when he was on set, Donald Glover.
Donald Glover,
The night that he was on Saturday Night Live, that he hosted Saturday Night Live, I think I can't remember the last time a host made me laugh that hard throughout the entire show. Every single bit that he was in that night was funny. And I don't know how much credit or development he actually had in the overall project, but every single piece he did had, like the one that he was doing the riff of Orange Juice Jones's In the Rain, where, you know, if you ever remember the song The Rain, you know, Orange Juice Jones says, he was in the shadows watching the girl, what she did, and then he finally caught up to her when she came home. So in this one, he catches up to her when she's in the bar. He starts saying what he did, and she said, "Well, first of all, I'm not even the person you're talking about." He's like, "What?" And she explains to him who she was. He said, "Well, you might recognize who I am if you take those dark-ass glasses off." And he was like, "Hold up. You ain't so-and-so?" She was like, "No, I'm married. This is my husband." But that one, and he did the spoof of A Quiet Place with Kanye's Place, which was
Kanye's
the craziest thing I had. Yeah. You know, in the movie Quiet Place, you know, they were not allowed to talk, right? Because if you talked, the aliens or the creatures would come and get you. So he was whispering out things that Kanye West did, and the crew that was around him, whenever Kanye West came in, he was like, "Oh, shit," and the creature would come out of nowhere and kill him. No, that took a lot of creativity. Plus doing the child Gambino stuff and everything else that you were doing. That takes a lot. It took a lot.
You know, that's funny thinking about that. That brings back kind of memories. It's like some of the skits they used to do, like on Mad TV. I remember Ari Spears had done a spoof on Eddie Murphy, because he was always imitating Eddie Murphy. You know, that was one of his shticks. And he did a spoof on Eddie Murphy called, it was a VH1 Behind the Music, The Rise and Fall of Party All the Time. It's the funniest thing. I was like, Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time. I can't. And it's got Rick James in it. It's the funniest thing. I never thought you'd quite like it. I said, oh, my God, because this is a terrible song.
Yeah. But real quick, like, that's really our show for tonight because, like I said, we're only going to be on half an hour. Just want to remind everybody that this week's box office, you have three movies coming out this Friday. Mm-hmm. It's led off with Godzilla, King of the Monsters. That's this upcoming Friday. And then you also have the biography movie called Rocket Man. It's based about Elton John. It's also Friday. And the movie that I want to go see, that I think is going to be interesting, is Ma, starring Oscar and Octavia Spencer. Mm. I'm really interested to see that one. That looks creepy.
That does look creepy. I mean, she is really good. She is really good.
She is. And it's actually nice to see Octavia Spencer. I mean, she's someone who's been put in work for years. Really has. You know, in supporting roles in the last couple of years in more media roles. But this is the first one where her name is the main name on the marquee. She's not like Hidden Figures is her and Taraji P. Henson or her with somebody else. It's just her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is her movie, 100%. And how cool is that? That her first movie is a horror movie, and it looks good. It looks really good. That's my sleeper. That's one of my sleeper picks for the summer is Ma. I'm just off the trailer. I'll see this Monday. I won't see it Friday. Friday's gonna be Godzilla. But come Monday, it's gonna be Ma. You know, Rocket Man, I'm want to see it, but it's one of those movies that you can sit back and wait a minute. But Godzilla is gonna wait. The Godzilla is Friday, for opening night. It's IMAX screens or real 3D or whatever it is. It's that movie. This is gonna be destruction and monsters and screaming and monsters.
Monsters and more monsters. Because I understand they're opening up the whole monster catalog in this movie.
They're throwing the whole kitchen sink into. Mm-hmm. I think the only monster that's probably not in there is King Kong and maybe Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
But who knows? Could be at the credit scene.
But I love how in the trailer they only show like little snippets, but you know there are other monsters that haven't been shown in the commercial. So,
yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing those.
I know. I am going to be geeking out. I'm going to be like the old Saturday afternoon matinee movies all over again. It's going to be this Friday.
Oh, man, I'm going to have a good time with that movie. I'm going to be my popcorn. I'm going to be enjoying this movie, boy.
I know. I know. If I could go Thursday night, I have to work Thursday night. If I could go Thursday night, I would go see it Thursday night, but I got to wait till Friday. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait 12 hours to go see it. That's all right. But we will be live at our regular time next Monday. Next Monday we'll be on at 9 o'clock. And we will be talking about next week's box office and anything else that comes in the world entertainment. So for myself and Jedi Councilmember Larry, thank you for listening on this Memorial Day. I know you had better things to do than spend a few minutes with us, but we're very appreciative, very thankful. And make sure you tune in every Monday to Real Talk Director on Dalhouse Radio. Our call number is always 646-595-4038. And to everyone, have a great night, and we will talk to you next Monday. So in the words of Wesley Clark, you could – what is – all right, I got to get Wesley's ending to them. I know all of that you can hate us, but you can't ever forget about us. I know that one. But since I don't know it until I learn it, we're going to do a little throwback. One of my favorite songs because it is Memorial Day weekend. And see, for me, Memorial Day weekend Memorial Day has always been about movies. I'm going to play a little favorite of mine that was in our Real Talk Movie Talk song countdown, which we will be getting back to next Monday. I've been saying it for a couple weeks. We're going to get back to that next Monday. We're going back to our Real Talk Movie Song Tournament. So talk to you next Monday. Here's Kenny Loggins, the master of the movie songs. Kenny Loggins with Danger Zone from 1986, Top Gun, which opened Memorial Day weekend in 1986. Good night. Talk to you next Monday.
Peace.
At Blog Talk, let me play it. At Blog Talk, let me play it.